Hashem appeared to Avram Avinu in Eilon Emamre, the city called Eilon Emamre. He was sitting at the front of the tent at the heat of the day. So here we go. So Rashi says, Bagayir, I love. He says, Levakar Sachola. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the famous Rashi, was being Levakar Chola, right? He came to go visit the sick. Amar Echam Ebrei Chanino. Yom Shlich Elinu Lasohayu. It was the third day of the Bris Mila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vashol Bishlomo. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to go ask how he was doing, to go ask what was going on. Took it away because of the phone, buddy. So either way, so number one, why do we care that it was the third day? Number two, what's the deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to visit Avraham Avinu? Those are two simple questions, but they're both over here. What does God want with all this? So here we go. Last week we spoke about the following. We said, Kasher Diber Elav Hashem. That whatever it says the word Kasher Diber Elav Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him, or HaKadosh, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, that means whenever Hashem does that, it means whatever the person felt, whenever he got the Dibor from Hashem, that's how he felt at the very end as well. There was no regression of when God told me I'm all into it and this and that and whatever. And then as time went on, I like lost it a little bit. And I didn't have as much hislavus is the word, as much love for it or fire into it as I did the first time. That's not what it is. Kasher Diber Elav Hashem is just like that first moment when God spoke to me. I was all into it. I was into it at the very end as well. The entire time I was like that. By the Bris Mila. The Bris Mila, he did the Mila to Yitzchak, Kasher Diber Elav Hashem. Just like as if it was 13 or 14 years earlier when he gave the Bris. When he gave the bris over to himself and to, oh, I'm sorry, 13 or 14, a year earlier, when he gave the bris to himself and to Avraham Avinu, that's how he felt when he gave the bris over to Yitzhak, to himself and Yishmael. Very good. That's what he felt this time as well. He had the same cheshek, the same bren, if you want to say it in Yiddish, you know? The same type of idea that he had when he first told about it. Okay, here we go. When he got that bris, he felt no pain while he got the bris, while the bris happened. I mean, while cutting himself. There was no pain, there was no yisurin. Why? Because he felt like the nevuah, the prophecy that God was giving him, was happening as he was getting the bris mila. That's how powerful and how ingrained God's word was inside him. That while he was giving the bris, he couldn't even feel the pain. He couldn't feel anything. There was no pain going through him whatsoever. That was the warmth of that. That koach of God's word went all the way to the third day. What normally happens on the third day? Third day you get worse and worse and worse, and the injury is the worst on the third day because the pain keeps going up and up and up until by the third day you just can't take it anymore. And by Shechem, what does it say? Biyosim koavim, they were hurting on the third day because that's what normally happens. Normally it just goes worse and worse and worse. By Avraham Avinu, it just kept getting better and better and better. He never got worse. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that there was pain there, but Avraham Avinu wasn't even feeling it. It was like he was numb all over, like he had Novocaine all over his body. But there was pain there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to heal all the wounds. He was Mevaker the Chola. He was Mevaker the Chola because he was so special, so holy, that he didn't even feel the pain that was going on. But Shechem, why did Shechem give themselves a Bris Mila? Shechem gave themselves a Bris Mila because why? Because they wanted out of Taiva. They wanted to marry the Jews. They wanted to get together with the Jews. They wanted to get their money. They wanted to do all those things. So 3 days later, what ended up happening? They were hurting from it. Because Taiva eventually wears off. The first time you give yourself a bris mila, it was like, okay, that was it. Now I'm all done. But 3 days later, it starts to hurt. You start to forget about it. Avinu never lost it. He kept it with him the entire time.
You talking about the spirituality?
Not in the fact that he was able to ignore the pain. There's such things where a gadol is able to have something happen to him and ignore the pain. It's a famous story with Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein was coming out of the car door, right? And the Talmud, who was a nervous Talmud, slammed the door in Moshe Feinstein's hand. Slammed it on his hand. He didn't react. But the car door was holding on his hand. It was so tight that he had broken bones from it. Broken bones from it. But he didn't move. He didn't move. He didn't say a thing. He didn't do anything at all. He slowly but surely waited until somebody else saw that it happened and opened the doors so that Moshe Rabbeinu could get his hand out. And then, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Feinstein got his hand out, and then all of a sudden, Torah Moshe was able to get his hand out, and then all of a sudden he said, maybe we should take myself to the hospital. It was the fact that he didn't let out that initial moment of pain where tzaddik can overcome that type of pain and that type of a reaction that you should have. That's what Avraham Avinu was able to have, that he didn't feel the pain. Everything was so holy to him, it was just different. It just didn't feel the same way. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu was Mevaker Chola. Not because he was sick per se. He was sitting outside waiting for Orchim, you know, looking around waiting for Orchim. He felt fine and looked fine, but Lamaisa, he was bleeding. Lamaisa, there were issues down there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to heal those issues, so there wouldn't be infections or anything like that down there. What do they do when you have Novocaine in your mouth and you're not able to feel your teeth? They make you chew on gauze or things like that, because otherwise you'll start chewing something. Why? Because you're going to start chewing your tongue or your gums and everything, and you're going to start making yourself bleed. So the same thing with Avraham. He didn't even know it was down there. So he might make himself get infected without realizing there was something there because he couldn't feel the pain. That's how great Avraham was. Okay, I want you to think about this for a second. In the midst of the greatest pleasure that you could possibly have in the world, in this world, a direct visit from God, a direct visit from God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself comes down and shows himself to you in the midst of that vision, in the midst of that nevuah, and everything that was happening, he still was able to see three Arabs in the distance walking by his house. He was still able to see that. Can you imagine that greatness? To be able to be so holy that you're talking with God and you're saying, God, and then all of a sudden you just say, hold on. And you get out of your spiritual existence and you go back to the physical world and you say, oh, there's three guys over here. I'm going to have to go bring them in. And then to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please wait here for a second. Let me go take care of these guys and I'll be right back. And that's how holy Avraham Avinu was, that he was able to see the physical world while still living in a life that was just beyond this world. To be able to talk to God that was beyond anything that we have inside this world. The Chassam Sofer said that unreal level that he was on was the test of Avraham Avinu. There's a test behind this. It was a test to invite over three guests on a hot day. That's a test. The test was that would he invite them over when he was talking, in the midst of talking with God. Chassam Sofer says that was a crazy test. That test was completely different from any other test that he possibly had. And three Arabs, three people that he thought weren't so special people, they turned out to be very special people, but three people that he didn't think was anything. So here we go. He was so great that what happens later is Pashut now. Look at what God says after they go. The Pasuk starts like this. Vashem Amar, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, God said, Hamachasani me Avram asher ani oseh. Can I hide from Avram that which I am going to do? So here we go. Avram hayoyi ela goy gadol. Avram's going to be a great nation, but atum and strong. V'nivruhu bo ko goy aret. All the nations of the world will be blessed through Avram Avinu. Ki edativ, says Hashem. I know. Laman asher yitzavez banavez beis o'achrav. That Avram commands his children and his house after him. V'shomru derech Hashem. They keep the word of God. Lasu sedarko mishpat. To do good things in judgment. Laman havi Hashem al Avram es asher divar olav. So that Avram gets what God commanded him. Now, listen to that. A lot of questions. Some sort of ask. Number one, is Hashem misupik whether to give a nevuah to Avraham Avinu? Would you ever see God having a conversation with himself? Should I tell Avraham Avinu? Should I not tell Avraham Avinu? I wonder what I should do. Is he talking out loud? How did three psukim get spoken about in our get thrown into the parsha over something that Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, I don't know, is Avraham here? Is Avraham, should I tell Avraham? Should I not tell Avraham? That's number one. Number two, it says, that which I'm going to do, it says he commands his house and the Beis O'achor of the Shomru Derech Hashem. Why do they keep the mitzvos? Laman Havi Hashem al Avram es Asher Dibur Alav. That Avram gets what God said he was going to get, so he gets rewarded. Now, there are two levels that a person can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a level of doing things for reward, and there's a level of doing things L'Shem Shemayim. If I gave you that choice, and I said, what do you think Avram did things for? Do you think he did it L'Shem Shemayim? Or do you think he did it for rewards? What do you think? What would you answer me?
L'Shem Shemayim.
Of course L'Shem Shemayim. Why does Hashem say, I know he's doing it to get a reward, so therefore I'm going to go ahead and tell him a nevuah? And what made God say, I'm going to give a nevuah? Because he talked to his kids? Because he made his kids keep mitzvahs? So Kadosh Baruch Hu should talk to me also. I should have the exact same nevuah. I also teach my kids mitzvahs. I also teach my kid brachos. What's the difference between me and Avram? And I also do it for schar. I do it to be rewarded. Why am I any different from Avram Avinu? And what was this guy? Again, what's the conversation? What does God want? That immediately he goes down. Aside from all that, by the way, and what we're going to discuss afterward, he goes down and he says to him, I'm going to destroy Sodom. So Avram says, please don't. No, I'm going to. Please don't. Are there 50? No. Are there 40? No. Are there 30? No. 20? I'm missing 45, by the way. 20? No. 10? No. All right, I got nothing. So Kadosh Baruch Hu walks away. Kadosh Baruch Hu walks away and says, all right, I'm going to destroy Sodom. What? No, we're wasting this many psukim on this? Avram's feel it didn't work. Why write that in? It's an embarrassment to him. It's an embarrassment. And at the end of the day, look what happens with Lot. Lot goes around, at the very, very end, he says, Al no Adonoi, please know my master. Let me live in this city. He saved one of the five cities of Sodom. Avraham Avinu wasn't able to. And Lot did it. Wouldn't you think that's the most embarrassing thing in the world? That we have psukim where Hashem says, should I tell Avraham Avinu? Should I not tell Avraham Avinu? All right, I'll tell him. Let's see what he can do. No, he failed miserably. But Lot succeeded. Lot did it. Is that the craziest thing in the world? What in the world do the psukim want with this? Why in the world are we going through this? Here we go. There's two answers that I want to give. Number one, comes in the Ma'aril and the Kedushas Levi. Rav Levi is going to be Radishim. It says like this. A tzaddik and a father can live forever. They can live forever. How do they live forever? If they teach their kids how to do mitzvos and how to live their lives correctly, whether it's a tzaddik with his talmidim or a father with his sons, then automatically any mitzvah that those kids or those talmidim do gets counted on the account of the Rebbe or on top of the account of the father. Any mitzvah that they do goes straight to that Rebbe and goes straight to that tzaddik. That's how we have people like the Ben Ish Chai that keep growing even when they're in Olam Haba. They become greater even when they're in Olam Haba. How? Because all the mitzvahs that those people read his Sfarim, those people learn his Torah, those people that listen to the halachos of the Ben Ish Chai, when they do it because the Ben Ish Chai said it, the Ben Ish Chai gets raised up to a higher mile and a higher mile in Olam Haba. Even after death, you can't do anything, but your children can, and your grandchildren can, and your great-grandchildren can, and everybody else can. Now that can go the opposite way as well, and Avera can go that way as well, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu limits that so that we don't have all those Averas going down on us. He does that, by the way, by certain other people, like Yeshu, like Bilam, and like by other people that were Mesi Sumediach, that caused people to go off the Derech. Those people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu affects and makes them do it. But by Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the shot behind all this is that if he teaches all these things to all his kids and to all the people of his house and all these servants, all these mitzvahs are going to go to Avraham Avinu from now on. They're all going to go to him from now on. Not only that, when Avraham did his mitzvahs, he didn't think for himself. He didn't want to do it just for himself. He did it Derech Klali. He did it for Klal Yisrael. He had Klal Yisrael in mind. He said, he had in mind, I want my kids to be affected by what I do. I want my kids to get good things because of what I do. I want them to be helped from every little thing that I do in this world. I want them to be affected by it. I want them to be get something out of it. And because of that, every little thing did go down to their kids, and it made it easier for them to do Tzedakah Mishpat. For example, you have a guy in Highland Park whose parents are not from. It's very hard for that guy to keep kosher. Very hard for them to keep kosher. It's very hard. He's got a kosher out the kitchen. His parents don't want to. His parents don't want to do this. His parents don't want to do that. I mean, it's very, very hard to do. And he might eventually do it, but there's going to be a bunch of months where he's not going to be able to. A bunch of months where he just has to. There's a family dinner in this, you know, famous restaurant. He's got to go. There's no choice. What's he going to do? He's been eating there his whole life. Everybody's pressuring him. What's he going to do? Well, me, I never had that pressure. I never had that problem. My parents were from. So when I grew up, it wasn't a shaila I had to eat kosher. Wasn't a Shiloh. When Avraham Avinu did this, he had everyone in mind that from then on it would be easier for them to do Tzedakah Mishpat. He made it easier for them to be able to do it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Memela, that goes back to Avraham Avinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know how great Avraham Avinu is? He gives things to other people, said it goes right back to him. Not that he does it for that reason, but automatically it happens that it goes back to him. But not that he does it for any specific, not that he does it in order to get rewarded. Here we go, the Chassam Sofer is unbelievable. He says this in the Shalos V'Tshuvos Or HaChaim, in the Akdam, in the introduction. It's brought down in the Torah's Moshe, in one of the Likutim, it brings it down like this. You know when you become a Navi? You become a Navi, a real prophet? You gotta have something called these Bodidus. You don't know what his bodidus is. His bodidus has nothing to do with like the, you know, the, what's the word? The, not Muslim, the, Buddhism. When Buddhism like sits there and like, oh, and has their own little thing. That's not his bodidus. His bodidus is going on your own, not seeing people, not seeing animals, and being literally on your own, sitting by a mikvah, and only thinking holy thoughts all day long. The more holy the thoughts, and the greater you, the more you try to resolve to be, the greater your Yisbodidus is, and the greater your Nevuah will be. The more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu you're going to be. That takes a lot. That takes a real, real lot. I'm sorry? Like a monk, but in a different way. Even the monks see each other. Yisbodidus is literally by yourself. With no one else around. To be a Navi, you have to do that. To be a Navi, you have to do that.
What about Yonah?
There were people that got... What do you mean, what about Yonah?
He never did any of that.
Yonah would not have been my example. I would have chosen a lot of other people before Yonah. There's no riot that Yonah was with other people. There's no riot of that whatsoever.
On the boat?
So what? He didn't get a Navi there, nor did he become a Navi on the boat. When he became a Navi, he started getting it before. Yonah did have something when he was by himself. The way to get it is to go by yourself for the first time. Now, eventually you can grow to become, even when you're with other people, you don't really see anyone. And the people aren't really there. That his bodhidus can grow and go into other things, but you got to start off that way. Avinu couldn't do it. Avinu wasn't roy to be a Navi. You hear this? He wasn't roy to be a Navi, says the Chasam Sofer. He never really was a Navi. He never was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to give him a Nevuah. He didn't deserve to have this Nevuah to hear what was going to happen by Sidon. That's why by any other person, they were a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi because he spent the time in the fields. Yaakov Avinu was a Navi because he spent the time in the fields. Everybody else, they spent their time alone. Avinu never spent one second on his own. He was always with other people. Always helping them with the Aleph Beis. Helping them in the lowest level. Teaching them to do mitzvos for schar, for reward. Teaching them to do it. He did it l'shem shemayim, but he taught them so that they would do the mitzvos for schar, so that they would get rewarded. He was always lowering himself to a first grade Rebbe's level. Lowering himself to be that way, so that he could grow up, bring up all the people. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell him about Sidon, he knew that Avraham Avinu had a power that nobody else had. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was, should I tell Avraham Avinu? He's not ready to get this Nevuah. He's not ready for it. If I give it to him, he might do the wrong thing, said the Chasam Sofer. He might ask for it in the wrong way. So should I say it to him? That was the suffix. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't know. What should I do with such a thing, so to speak, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know? That's what he said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead, what he did was, and what this teaches us, is that even if you're not on the level, if you do it for the right reasons, to bring up other people in the ways of Hashemayim, even though you yourself are not on the level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you skip those levels and bring you up to a level where you're automatically in the level of Nevuah with God. You're automatically getting prophecies from God. It's a crazy thing. A first grade Rebbe can become greater than the greatest Rebbe that's out there that's misboded. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the only reason why this guy's a first grade Rebbe is because he wants to teach children. So because of that, I'll bring him up all the levels that he's missing and make him into the Navi that I know he can become. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He throws him up to a higher level. What level did Avraham Avinu get thrown up to? That's the end of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer ends with that. Anything that he could ever need or want, he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he did it for the right reasons. He did it for all the right reasons. Ready for this? There's another thing. The only time that Avraham Avinu ever was maharher after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ever thought badly of God's decisions, was by Sidon. Nowhere else did Avraham Avinu ask a question. By the Bris Milah, he didn't say why. By the Bris Milah of Esarim, he said Bama Eida, but he didn't ask why. He said, how do I know? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, your children are going to be slaves. He never asked the word why. By the Akedah, he never asked the word why. By Lech Lecha, he never said the word why. Never said it. By Sidon, I'm going to destroy Sidon. Why? Why destroy them? The first time, and the only time in the Chumash, where Avraham Avinu actually asked the question, where he says, I don't get it. I don't get why this is so. Is that strange? What do we want with that? And then all the other questions that we said. What do we want with all the other questions? So here we go. The pshat is like this. Tiferes Shlomo says, up until and including the door of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu lived, the neshamos that the people had, not only Jews, everyone, up until Moshe Rabbeinu, were extremely holy, heavy neshamos. We're not talking about stam people. We're not talking about stam people. We are talking about heavy, heavy neshamos. These are the greatest neshamos that were ever out there. Now the problem is, when you have these great neshamos, it's very easy to mess them up. Very easy to mess them up. Because just a little bit of a mistake can turn the whole neshama into garbage. Because the neshamas are so high, they're on such a high level, just one little mistake can destroy everything. One little mistake can destroy everything. Moshe Rabbeinu stopped it, and he said, "Biniflinu ani va'amcha b'sochaam, let us be separate from everybody else." And from then on, all the highest neshamas in the world all went to the Jews. Nobody else got them. The highest neshamas in the world went straight to the Jews. Nobody else was able to come close. There was no non-Jew that was able to get as high of a neshama as we had. But up until that point, Goyim were able to have it. the greatest neshamos that ever came into the world were the neshamos that were lost after Adam Rishon separated from Chava for 130 years. There's nothing like those neshamos. They're the greatest neshamos to have ever existed in this world. And when Adam and Chava separated, after Cain and Hevel and after the whole thing in Gan Eden, for 130 years, Adam was separate, and those neshamos were lost. They were lost to the Shadim. By Shamchaza and Azol, the two angels who came down and took advantage of the situation that was down there on earth, they took advantage of it, they grabbed those neshamos for themselves and brought it into their own nation. Those people were Dor HaMabul. That was the generation of the flood. They had to be destroyed. Later on, those neshamos, after they were destroyed, came back and became Dor HaFlaga, the generation of the Tower of Babel. Those people came back a third time. The neshamos came back to be fixed a third time. You know who they were? Sodom. They became the people of Sodom. These people that were in Sodom all had the greatest neshamos that you can ever imagine. There was nothing like them. And Avraham Avinu's tefillah was not to save Sodom. Avraham Avinu was brought in to bring these neshamos to his own children. To bring them all in for himself. On the outside, it looks like he's davening. Are there 50? There's no. Are there 40? There's not. Are there 30, 20, 10? There's not? Then there's nothing I can do. And he stops and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes away. You think that's it? No! The tefillah worked perfectly. It brought those neshamos so that they wouldn't be lost forever from Sodom. They wouldn't be thrown into Gehenna, in the Bira Mikta, the deepest pit of Gehenna where they wouldn't be able to get out. They were brought up to the level to become part of Bnei Yisrael. They went into Mitzrayim and had all the trials and tribulations, the Yisurin of Mitzrayim, and later on came out and became Bnei Yisrael, Dor Dea. What do we know about Dor Dea? The greatest generation the Jews have ever seen, and they were able to take Har Sinai with God. They were able to speak to God directly. Those were how holy those neshamos were. That's how holy all those neshamos were at that time. Avram's tefillah was entirely for that. It was not to save Sodom. It was not to save those cities. And that's why Lot, when he asked for the city itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll allow it. I'll allow it to go ahead and happen. Even Sodom ended up getting destroyed at the very end because there were natural occurrences that happened. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he allowed it. That's not what Avram Avinu was davening for. Avram Avinu was really davening for the neshamos to be able to go. And that's why we mentioned the whole tefillah over here. Because the tefillah was so powerful that it did work, and it brought those neshamos into Klal Yisrael that we wouldn't have had otherwise. I don't think anybody realized how powerful Sodom was. I mean, it's beyond the most powerful thing in the world. These guys all surrounded the house of Lot. They went around the house of Lot and surrounded it. And what did they want to do? They wanted to have Bia with those two guys. They wanted to sodomize the two angels that had come down. Lot offered his two daughters, who were Besulas, and said, you can take them. Why Lot did that, we'll have to explain. But Lot offered his two daughters and said, take them instead. They said, no, we're only going for those men over there. You have to understand something. Rav Schwab says, Kochel Satuma have an unbelievable and uncanny ability to find out what's Tahor. Tuma thrives on Kedusha. Tuma swallows up Kedusha. When you daven, it's not a joke. You must do Psuki de Zimra. Without Psuki de Zimra, your tefillah is not surrounded. And the Shadim grab it. And they take it for themselves. Their chiyus, their life force, their living, what they live off is the Kedusha that we do off our Psuki de Zimra. The Kedusha that we have from our Shemona Esrei and our Shema. The mitzvahs that we do that are not full. The Shadim grab them and take them for themselves. That's how they live. They don't live off garbage. They go towards something that's good. They try to find the most holy thing they can possibly get and they go toward it. It's not pashut that a fly goes straight to blood, because the nefesh is inside the blood. The fly and the mosquito and all these types of bugs, when they see blood, they go straight down toward it. The most tummy things in the world go for the holiest thing that they can possibly get. The holiest thing. Now you think a dead carcass on the ground, or a scab or something like that, that's dirty. That's the holiest thing in the world, that's blood. Adamu banefesh, the nefesh is the dam. That's how holy it is. That tumah finds itself by the kedusha. The greater the tumah is, the more kedusha it wants. wants, and they'll search out for the greatest kedusha they can possibly find. These people of Sodom, they felt that the angels came into the town. They felt the kedusha of the malachim. They felt that kedusha, and they couldn't take it. They smelled it, and they started sniffing. Where is that kedusha coming from? They were so tameh that they couldn't deal with it. It was like a barbecue in the city, and they just went, "Where is that barbecue? Where can we go and get it?" And all they wanted to do, all they could think of, was attaching themselves to that kedusha and making it tameh. That's all they could do. They didn't want anything else. They didn't want to just see the kedusha. They wanted to grab the kedusha and take it in for themselves in the worst way possible, by being metameh in the worst way possible. That's how powerful Sodom was. They were so powerful, and they saw that kedusha. They went there. What Lot said with the two daughters was, "I have other bits of kedusha. There's kedusha with my daughters. My daughters are still besulas. They're not into the whole atmosphere of Sodom. Take them instead. You don't want to ruin the ultimate kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the malachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." The people said, "Absolutely not." They couldn't take it. When they felt that kedusha, it was like a guy barbecuing a steak in the backyard, and the guy comes up to him and says, "Oh, I really want that steak." And he said to him, "Here, have some liver instead. Here, take some liver." He said, "Absolutely not. I'm not going for that liver. I want the steak. I want to be able to have the steak. I want to be able to have the greatest thing in the world that I can possibly get." That's what Sodom was like. They were so into the kedusha they couldn't take it. That's what happened over there. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that, how tameh they were, that they couldn't take something so kadosh coming into the world, that when as soon as they saw them, they wanted to destroy that kedusha and take it down, Shem said, "I have to destroy them." And that's what it means, that I have to see what it's like, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought the malachim in to see what the people of Sodom would do. When he saw that, he immediately had to destroy them. We have to understand this. In San Francisco, there's been tests done. The birds turned gay. The birds have started to mate with one another, or roost with one another. Obviously they can't mate. Male and male, and female and female. Male and female birds started to not be with one another. And it's unbelievable. They found this test. It's true throughout the United States. True throughout. But the first test that was done was in San Francisco. And those people wanted to bring it as a raya that they're naturally... There's a type of desire for the same men, for the same sex. That males like males and females like females. Because look, the animals do it. So if the animals have it, then Kol Shekein, a person should have it. So, but it should be that, you know, people that are gay, people that are that way, that they should be, it's a natural thing. And it's probably in their DNA, and it's not their fault, it's not a taiva, not anything like that. Chazal have a different, totally different outlook. Reb Moshe speaks about this, by the way. Reb Moshe has a tshuva, I forgot where it is, in Or HaChaim, and Ebenezer Gimel, I believe. But Reb Moshe has a tshuva that it's just a taiva. Purely a taiva. It is not from birth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never create a person that way. It says it's purely a taiva. A person grows on him, and it ends up being a desire. And that's exactly it. Reb Moshe says, the pshat on the animals doing that is because the land became so tameh from human intervention, the animals follow suit. The same way by the mabul, that the animals started having znus with one another because the people started having znus. They were metameh the land. The land of stone was so tameh that the animals were starting to get together with one another. The thing was so tameh that it was able to affect anybody that went down there, even the malachim, even the angels that went down there. Rav Schwab says, I always said this misvara, but Rav Schwab says it straight out. An angel that is in human form, when Michal, Gabriel, and Raphael turn into human form, they have bechira. They have free will. They can make their own choices. A malach is a malach. In Shemayim, a malach cannot do anything but be a messenger of God. But when they're known as an Adam, when they're known as an Ish, they can make their own decisions. And even though they're known as malachim, but they're in the form of an Ish, they can make their own decisions. Rav Schwab says it straight out. I always thought it means svara, and I thought I saw a dik from the Yalkut Ruveni, but the Rav Schwab says it straight out. Then when they went down there, they were able to make their own decisions. Michal, whoever went down to Sidon, definitely Gavriel. It's Machlokis and Tosus, whether it's Michal or Rafal, the other Malach, whichever one it was, they got affected by that tumah. That tumah affected them so much that when the people wanted to do this to them, that when they wanted to sodomize them, they got affected. They wanted to take nekama on them. They wanted to take revenge. They say, what, you're going to do this to us? They wanted to kill them. They wanted to kill them. So what did they say out loud? Mashchisim anachnu. We're going to destroy this land. They didn't mean that. Rafal or Michal doesn't have the ability to destroy at all. Only Gavriel does. What's Mashchisim anachnu? He got caught up, says Achsam Sofer. He got caught up with everything else. He sat there and he's sitting there and he's like, I can't believe this. I want to destroy these people. I will destroy these people. Even though Rafal and Michal never had an ability to kill anybody. They got caught up in it. They got caught up in all the tumah of the people of Sodom. That's how tummy the land was. It's crazy how tummy that place was. It's crazy how bad that whole thing was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that, and therefore the whole land couldn't even remain. What is it today? Yam HaMelech. The whole place had to be so destroyed that nothing could grow there. Because if anything would grow there, it would grow, and I'm sorry to say it in this way, in a bastardly form. In a form that would be not like the regular nature of the world, the natural order of the world. That's how bad the land was. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mini marble to Sodom, a mini marble through fire, and made it have a sulfur destruction until it became the Mei HaMelech, the one place in the world that is absolutely, completely eradicated, almost completely destroyed.
I don't know if I asked this before, but did they ever excavate over there? Was it just too destroyed, just too deep dark?
I don't know. I have no idea. If they would, I don't think they would find anything. I think we all know salt destroys things. Salt completely, you know, turns it down. So anything that you would find, like pottery or whatever, would be destroyed by there. It also flavors things. Very good, Ari. Thanks for that. Yeah, that's a good one. So either way, but it does have that. By the way, because they said Mashchisim and Achnu, anybody know what happens? Yonas and Menuziel said they were punished for 138 years. They weren't allowed to go back up to Shemayim. What? They weren't allowed to go back up. Until when? Until Yaakov Avinu. By the Sulam Mutzav Arza, the latter, there were Malachim Olim V'Yordim Bo. The Malachim that were Olim was Michal and Gabriel, Rafal and Gabriel, whichever the two Malachim were. Because up until that point, they couldn't come back. They couldn't come back down. Now they were able to. We have no idea. It seems very clear that they watched over the Avos, because the Pasuk says, by Yaakov Avinu, Ki Malachov Yitzav Elah. His Malachim watch over you. And it seems that his Malachim were Michal and Gabriel, and that's why, when he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, Michal and Gavriel, Rafal and Gavriel never had permission to leave Eretz Yisrael. So they went up and other Malachim came down to lead Yaakov Avinu outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that way you put all the boards together. That's how it makes a lot of sense. And those were the Malachim that took care of him. Alright, one last thing. After the Akedah happens, one of the strangest things in the world, at the very, very end of the parasha, I'm sorry I'm not going to the Akedah this year, I'm going to go into it next year. I have a lot of stuff on the Akedah. But check out the very end of the parasha. Now, it's funny. Everybody knows the Akedah we read on Rosh Hashanah. The fifth Aliyah of Rosh Hashanah is these psukim over here. It was told to Avram saying, Milcah gave birth to children with Nahor your brother. Etc. And at the end, it says, and Rivka. So it goes through all these things, right? It mentions it all because of Rivka. Number one, why right after the Akedah? I know that Yaakorea Dvorim Ayela, right afterward, it was told to Avram that Rivka was there, and Chazal Darshan, now he was ready to get married, Yitzchak was ready to get married to Rivka, because Rivka was 3 years old. According to those who say that Rivka was 13, what are these psukim doing here? That's number one. Number two, why do we read it on Rosh Hashanah? Why do we read it on Rosh Hashanah? What's the point of reading this on Rosh Hashanah? What do we get out of this? So you ready for this? It says, Hine. What does Hine mean? Behold! It's a chiddush. Whenever you see the word hine, it means something that I never would have expected. Gam he, also she. Who is the first person? She also had children. Who is the first person to have children that would say she also had children? Who is the first? You ready? Nahor was the brother of Avram Avinu, a year younger than him. At the time of the Akedah, Avram Avinu was 137. Nahor was 136. Milcah was a daughter of Haran, the sister of Sarai Imenu. Sarah Avinu was 10 years younger than Avram Avinu. Milka was a year younger than Sarah. So she was altogether 126. 136 and 126. That's how old they were right then. Ready? Milka and Nahor never had children. Never had children. Until all of a sudden, we don't know when it started, but they davened b'schus Sarah Imenu. They davened in the schus of Sarah Imenu, Milka's sister, let us have children. And hine, all of a sudden, behold, a brand new chiddush. Avraham Avinu is told, your brother, he finally had kids. At the age of 136, he had a bunch of kids. And Milka, who was 126, was able to give birth to children. 8 children he was able to have from her. Why? Because they davened. Hine, yolda Milka, gam hi, banim l'nachar achicha. Also, she, not only Sarah Imenu was able to have this chus, but Milka also had this chus from Sarah Imenu. And she also was able to have children. You know what the pshat is? On Rosh Hashanah we sit there, and this is the first word. On Rosh Hashanah we sit there and we want to get added into the Sefer HaChaim. Ask for Zchus Avos. We have people that we can ask for in the Zchus of. Please let us be there in the Zchus of these people. And then aside from that, all these people are mentioned over here. Why are they all mentioned? All these children of Nahor? Why are they put over here? Because they're put in all because Rivka's there. They all existed because Rivka had to exist. You know what pshat is? Sometimes a person exists only because there's a Rebbe that needs a Talmud. Sometimes a person exists because there's a Talmud that needs a Rebbe. Sometimes a person exists because a mother needs a son. And the whole world is made for that mother. But the mother needs a son. So therefore the son is there, not for himself, but for everybody else. Rivka needed 11 brothers. Rivka needed a mommy and a daddy. Rivka needed a grandfather and a grandmother. And she got all that. And that's shot behind Rivka. The whole thing being written in order for Rivka to be here. And that's why we read it on Rosh Hashanah. The idea is supposed to be behind that. And aside from that, there's one person who's missing. Do you know who's missing from this whole family tree? Somebody you would think would be here? Terach is not there. Terach is the father of Avraham Avinu. Lavan. What happened to Lavan? Where'd Lavan go? I mean, he was also a son of Bisuah. Why not put him inside here? Because on Rosh Hashanah, the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim are Pesuchim. The Torah is the Sefer HaChaim. Lavan didn't get written into the Sefer HaChaim. So when you're sitting there on Rosh Hashanah and you're looking at these Pesuchim, and you're saying, where's Lavan? He didn't make it into the Sefer HaChaim. Oy vey! Maybe I won't make it into the Sefer HaChaim. Maybe I'm not going to make it for Rosh Hashanah. And you start crying, what about me? That's why we read it on Rosh Hashanah. So that you notice that Lavan is missing. He shouldn't be missing, but he's missing. And you sit there and you think to yourself, what about me? You ready for the end? The very last word, I heard this from Rabbi Sender over Yom Tov, over Rosh Hashanah. The last word in the parasha is Ma'acha. Ma'acha stands for Melech Al Kol Ha'olam. That's why we read on Rosh Hashanah. Because Ma'acha was named Melech Al Kol Ha'olam. What's pshat? Because you think that God wouldn't care about these people in Nahor. God doesn't care. On Rosh Hashanah, God cares about the Jews. God cares about us. Everybody else, let them live their lives. They don't care about the billion people in China, the billion people in India, the hundreds of millions in Africa. What's God care about them? Pshat is God cares so much. Melech al kol olam, that the other nations of the world, that the other people that are out there in the world, that Kadosh Baruch Hu cares just as much. He's a melech al kol olam. Not just for Avraham Avinu. They went up to Avraham Avinu and said, there's everything else is in the world. There's all these people out there. There are all these people out there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech on all of them. It's going to be king on all of them. They're all there for that reason. That's what we're supposed to end off with. That's why we say it in Rosh Hashanah. That's the basic idea behind it. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.